This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is currently 7:12 now on this beautiful spring morning. Man, I'm going to tell you what, it's nice and cool outside. I had to work from home today because of a series of unfortunate events. And we got Teddy TT, the new mutt that is in the Tucker household, and I was just hitting a tennis ball with him. Well, I use a tennis racket to hit it with him because that way you can put some overspin on it and it saves the shoulder. Anyway, it's a beautiful, chilly spring morning right now outside, 47 degrees going up to 63, 75 tomorrow, even better. Saturday, got a chance for showers, 75%, highs of 74. But it should be okay for Barkus and the truck float parade on Sunday. And then it clears out for next week and a beautiful spring week ahead. I'm looking at a headline here as we welcome in Greg Upton, director of LSU's Center for Energy Studies. And the reason I don't like to get it behind one party line or the other and like to do my own thinking is because, and if I can get on my soapbox here for a second, A, it allows me to express my opinion, and B, it makes me taller for a small, short period of time. But you got to be careful when you just jump behind one person and think that they're working in your best interest, because while they make it seem as though they are, they may be working in their own best interest, which might not be your best interest. That being said, when it comes to public policy, there are a lot of different concerns, and what's good for one is not bad for the other. Bottom line, there are no simple solutions to complex problems. Now we welcome in Greg Upton from LSU. How you doing, Greg?
Oh, doing great, Tommy. Beautiful morning.
How was your Mardi Gras? Nice?
Oh, it was so nice. Yeah, we just kind of hung out at home with the kids and didn't do anything big, but it was just really nice, relaxing time.
What do they do in Baton Rouge for Mardi Gras? Do y'all have any kind of celebration or not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's several great parades. My favorite is the Spanish Town Parade downtown. It's really nice. But, yeah, we've got several good festivities here.
I always wonder about that. Tim tells me in my year they have a big St. Patrick's Day parade as well. Let's talk about carbon capture, because as I was saying in my preamble, Greg, public policy can be complicated. What's good for one is not good for the other. You got to do what's in the best public interest of everybody. That can extend to different interests locally. It can go to the interest of the world as opposed to the interest of the local area. And on top of that, there are people with financial stakes in this. That leads to jobs or opportunities, but it could also lead to things that hurt people that already have jobs in industries. And I'm not trying to make this overly complicated, but for people that think there are simple solutions to complex problems, that is just not the case. Accurate?
Yeah, that's absolutely accurate. This is a complicated situation we're dealing with the global movement to reduce the carbon intensity of our energy sector, and Louisiana is right in the center of that.
So let's talk about what's going on with carbon capture, and I don't know if you want to give us some context on this, how it started, where we are now, and what happens then.
Yeah, sure. So as you and I have talked about multiple times, Louisiana is a big producer of these energy-intensive and emissions-intensive products. Examples of those are liquid fuels, chemicals, plastics, fertilizers. We produce those products here. We ship them all over the country and all over the world. And that is, of course, big industries that employ a lot of our people here in Louisiana. What we're seeing now is that companies around the world that are making investments in these facilities are asking what is not only the cost competitiveness of these facilities in order to produce cost-effective products that they can sell into a market, but also what is the emissions intensity of those industries. And so these industries are under pressure, both nationally and international pressure, to reduce the carbon intensity of those products. One of the technologies, and the one that we're talking about today, in order to reduce those emissions is what's called carbon capture, utilization, and storage. And so we have one good example of this process is ammonia production. So we produce ammonia, which is a big fertilizer that we, of course, ship all over the world. And a byproduct of the production of that ammonia is carbon dioxide. And so out of that process, you get a very high purity stream of carbon dioxide that currently we're just emitting into the atmosphere. And so the idea is to take that carbon dioxide and instead of emitting it into the atmosphere, to drill a well that would look very similar to an oil and gas well that we're very familiar with in Louisiana. But instead of pulling something out of the ground, the purpose of that well is to sequester that carbon dioxide into the pore space under the surface. And so that is the concept of what's called carbon capture and storage, or carbon capture and sequestration. They kind of are used interchangeably.
So when it comes to economic opportunities, there are economic opportunities there, but I will also say in terms of it being a complicated situation, you can always say, too, that, you know what, if we let the nation dump their trash here, that's an economic opportunity as well. But do we really want that? I'm not saying that this is the same, but for those that are concerned about carbon capture, they almost look at it that way. And talk about those that the opposition to carbon capture here in Louisiana.
Yeah, sure. So the first point you bring up, which is a valid one, which is waste disposal. Mm-hmm. So Louisiana has done underground waste disposal for both oil and gas extraction. When you extract brine from the ground, you dispose it underground. There's also industrial waste disposal that also occurs in the state. And so this would be another example of a waste product, which in this instance is carbon dioxide, which you would store underground in order to dispose of that waste, which is what it is, because we're trying to not emit it into the atmosphere. So that's a legitimate kind of question that people have, is if you're going to go and you're going to sequester the carbon in the ground in my area, what is the benefit that my local area is going to get from that, aside from these global benefits of reducing those carbon emissions? And I think that that's a very legitimate question that these local communities are having.
I think another. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, so another concern that a lot of these communities have, which again is a very legitimate concern, is what is the safety of this? And so we've had, of course, industrial activities here in Louisiana for a century. We decide every day to get on the interstate and drive. There's risks associated with literally driving down the interstate. Some people commute down the interstate every day. And so the question I think that, again, a lot of these communities are asking is, okay, if you're going to come do this this economic activity here, what is going to be the risks associated with that? And one of the examples of an incident that occurred was in Setarsha, Mississippi in 2020, where there was a CO2 pipeline. And by the way, that pipeline currently today runs through Louisiana and just also goes into Mississippi. And there was an area that there was a rupture due to a landslide. And this hospitalized some folks in that area around that incident. And so that's another question people are asking, is what's the safety implications?
When it comes to the jobs that are often offered with these opportunities, I know I forgot exactly where it was, but there was a big, I think, battery manufacturing thing or something, if I might be conflating it in Jefferson Parish, whatever it was. But it turns into just 9 permanent jobs. I don't know that there will be any environmental concern to this at all. But sometimes when we hear about, and I don't know what the situation is in Cancer Alley or with some of the chemical treatment plants, but sometimes we hear about this being a big opportunity, but it doesn't really turn into that many jobs, right?
Yeah, that's a fair analysis of that. You know, a lot of what we're talking about is, yes, we could be building new facilities that would require sequestration, and therefore you could get new jobs associated with those facilities. But to me, the bigger point here is not the question of, okay, well, how many new jobs are we going to have at some new facility, but instead of, we have this sector that's here in Louisiana, it's a big employer in our state, are we able to reduce the carbon intensity of that sector and of these existing facilities that are there. But the flip side of that is some of these communities are asking, okay, well, you're trying to do sequestration in my community that might be a little bit more rural, that doesn't have all these industrial activities to begin with. And so those communities are rightfully asking, well, what are going to be the economic benefits to my community? And the big one that I really see is the tax revenues associated with this. You know, some of the I think that a lot of these communities see significant increase in tax revenue. And this is actually very similar to solar that you and I have talked about, which is another technology that you build it. It generates electricity. It's in these rural areas. Probably not a huge job creator, and that you don't have hundreds of people showing up for work at that facility every day, but those are paying taxes to those local governments and supporting the local economy in that way.
Now, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because there's also, when you talk about the economics of this, where do tax credits fit into this? And when it comes to, just like any tax credit program, and jobs that are created, of course, there is in this case an environmental concern as well as far as cleaning up the environment. But when it comes to jobs that are being created and economic opportunity, who's actually paying for this? Are the tax credits paying for it? Is it federal? Is it state? Is the federal government in essence subsidizing this so that, I hate to say the money's being laundered, but in a way it is, because it's the taxpayers that are paying for through credits for the companies to do this work, and that's where the jobs come from. We'll boil it down some more with Greg Upton, director of LSU Center for Energy Studies. Louisiana's emerged as a hotbed for carbon capture project, but there's been pushback. So we'll continue to talk about what is it, how does it work, and run down the whole thing for you. If you've got any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. Somebody texted in, stuff can be made from carbon dioxide. We'll find out about that when we return. Traffic now, WWL. 728, quickly back to Greg Upton, director of LSU Center for Energy Studies, about carbon capture in Louisiana and the industry and the jobs it could provide. Greg, when it comes to tax credits, how dependent is this burgeoning industry on tax credits? Are they state credits, federal credits? And when it comes to capital investment, how likely are companies willing to jump in if it's based on political whim?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the Inflation Reduction Act subsidized lots of activities around decarbonization. So, you know, you had renewable energy subsidies in the Inflation Reduction Act. You had transportation decarbonization, electric vehicles. You had energy efficiency, hydrogen production, as well as carbon capture and sequestration. And so there is it's called the 45Q tax credit. It is a federal tax credit, so it's from the federal government, not from the state government. And it provides up to $85 per ton for the capture and sequestration. And there's some caveats to that, that it can be either higher or lower depending upon certain technical factors. But that is the main tax credit that companies are getting to do this. The other, you know, big benefit that the companies have, as I mentioned, is really reducing the carbon intensity of their products that they're selling onto that global marketplace. And so those are the two big things that companies are looking at of whether or not to engage in this activity.
Where do you see in a year from now, where are we on this, Greg?
So the first Class VI wells, which is the type of well, has still not been permitted by the state. So the state received what was called primacy from the EPA that gives the state the right to permit these wells for the first time. Over the next several months, I expect that we'll see some of the first wells being permitted, and then we'll just kind of watch and see what the economics does with the companies. You know, if the costs come in higher than what the companies are anticipating, maybe you see these projects slow down or not move forward. On the other hand, if the economics are looking really good for the companies, they'll be more likely to move forward. So it's definitely watching right now to see how fast this will move forward, if at all.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate the information. Time as always, Greg Upton, director of LSU Center for Energy Studies. We'll take a break. Come back. Go to Rome and talk to Christopher White, Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter. Get more on Pope Francis right now. Time for WWL First News.